I'm at Valda Haitley's place, and I'm about to go through a history lesson about herself and her family background. Now, Valda, you were telling me that you were born in Dimbula, is that right?
I was born in Dimbula on the 6th of October 1927. And my mother came from East Canham near Warwick Nabil, and my father came from Wallop. They came to Dimbula after working on farms and settled in Dimbula near the Melbourne-Adelaide railway line and got not to be able to hear the trains at night because it was happening every night. We moved into a new bank home when I was 10 months old, and I was an only child. But my mother was very good. She taught me how to spell ornithorhynchus when I was something to do with birds when I was very young, and surprised everybody at what I could spell. And my father was a sportsman. He loved tennis and cricket, golf, and later on bowls. And he used to give me his cast off putters from the golf and hand me down his tennis rackets, and I would bang against the garage door. You could hear me practicing tennis against the garage door. My father used to dink me to the golf links a couple of miles on his bike, and we'd do a round of golf together. He was very good at golf.
How old were you then?
Probably 10, 11, yes. And I used to play golf with my friend, Erica, between the roads. We lived between Element Street and Upper Regent Street. There were lots of vacant blocks, so we could tee off on Element Street and hit the golf ball to Upper Regent Street.
Did you ever hit anyone or anything?
No, there was no one to hit. That was quite open. Later on, I suppose my father encouraged me to play sport a good deal, and I played sport for all my single life and for Kwantung tennis after Neil and I were married in 1954. I had really good friends, three friends in particular. Erica was my closest friend, and she lived opposite in Element Street, Dimbula. Her father was a pastor at the Lutheran Church, and her sisters, Lenora and Cordy, were also my very good friends. I spent a fair bit of time with them at the parsonage, and my mother said to me, "I think you're Mrs. Starrick's little girl rather than my little girl because you spend so much time there." But they had beautiful fruit trees, cherry trees and mulberries, they had a great garden, and Mrs. Sturrock used to ask me, "Would I like some stewed cherries, Valda?" And of course Valda always would. Erica went eventually to Concordia College, and she became a teacher at Kewl and Victus for a time. Another friend was Minnie, who belonged to a very poor family, and Minnie was the elder girl in that family. We rode the roads together on our bikes. Minnie got a bike when she was 14, and I got mine when I was 12, and we went for long rides together. One day we were at Whale, which was 6 miles from Dimbula. We'd ridden out there, and the lady of the house where we visited had just baked beautiful bread buns. She spread a couple of those with butter and sat us down to afternoon tea, and I've never forgotten how beautiful they were.
Certainly, after a 6 miles ride, that would be very welcome.
Yes. So Minnie's influence on me was steadying. She had great wisdom for a girl her age. She was very loyal, and she was also a person of Christian faith. Another person, such person, was Margaret, who was the daughter of one of our school principals. She was 2 years older than me. All my friends were 2 years older than me. We were boarding together when I went to Teachers College in 1946. We loved talking French together, and this is where my love of French continued on from school, because it was always special to me. Margaret and her sister Inez and I rowed boats on the Wimmera River together. We rowed out to Picnic Bend. One day we were caught on a snag. The boat was caught on a snag, and we had to leave it there and walk back across the river to Dimboola, which was about 4 miles.
Could you swim?
Oh, yes, I could swim. I often went out to Picnic Bend and swam on my own. If my mother had known that I was swimming across the river on my own, she may have had some reluctance in letting me go, but I never came to any danger. I only found out later that there was quite a deep channel the other side of the river, but I didn't know and I couldn't see it, so I swam across it and it was all right.
You had a lot to do with the river. You were telling me that even before you went to Teachers College, you were already teaching Aboriginal kids, weren't you?
Yes, the Aboriginal children lived across the river and there were humpies on the other side of the river, very poor homes. The children were very cold in the winter. They sat down in the schoolyard in the sand and drew with their fingers in the sand. And in the winter time, I can remember guiding a little boy's hand, a little Aboriginal boy's hand, and it was all cracked from the cold of the winter. But they were dear little children. They were always very nice. And I think they liked me, but I've had an interest in Aboriginal people ever since, because in a way I grew up with some of them.
And you were teaching them as well, even though you were not a teacher, is that right?
That's right. It was while I was a junior teacher, I was doing studies prior to being trained. And at that stage, the district inspector asked me if I would go to Propadolla and teach 5 children from one family. They were the only children at the school, but they were state wards and they needed to have a teacher. So I said, yes, I would go and do it. I must have taken them for quite a few months toward the end of the year, because the education department had to provide a teacher for that family. I walked across the paddocks to school. I don't remember having my bike. There were cows and there were animals in the paddock. And I always looked for the fence because I thought I might get chased one day, and I was ready to run.
So what happened after Teachers College?
After Teachers College, I went to Melbourne for a little while, and I was going to start to study for secondary teaching, but I'd been young all through primary school. I'd been able to manage well. I'd been taken into 2 levels in the 1 year twice, and therefore, when I came to that stage of starting uni work, I hadn't enough experience in literature, and it was the arts subjects that I was interested in. I came back into the country. I didn't go on at uni. I came back into the country and passed two matric subjects, English expression and French. And I never went back to do secondary training. I was at Bueller at the time. I enjoyed my time at Bueller. I was there 2.5 years. It was a great time. I fitted into the community really well, had lots of friends. So I didn't go back to Melbourne until after 2.5 years in Bueller. And then I went to Southwest Brunswick, where I stayed another 2.5 years. And that was good as well. I enjoyed my time there.
So you were teaching all those years?
I was teaching.
Yes.
I was trained in 1946. Only 1 year. That was the usual way of things. I went to Bueller and I went to Southwest Brunswick. I was promoted at Southwest Brunswick and came back to Horsham. And I was in Horsham a couple of years when I met Neil and married him in 1954.
Then what happened then? Did you keep teaching?
I did some emergency teaching in Natimuck, but I taught religious education for about 15 years at Kwantong. I kept with the children until Kwantong School closed, virtually closed. I left a little bit beforehand. Things were a little bit uncertain in the schools at that time. Children were coming into the schools in larger towns, whereas before they'd been able to stay in their own little village. I stopped RE teaching at Kwantong, although I think I did a little bit more in Natimuck as well. So I did a little bit of teaching, but not a lot.
And tell me, how were you getting around in those early days? Because the farm is on this side of the river. So how were you going to the school?
I drove our first car. It was a little Ford Consul, and I had to learn to drive it. I had to get my license and drive from one side of the river over into the Wimmera Highway and across Kwantong Bridge and to school. It was 8 miles. I drove for quite a few years. I had a little bit of trouble learning to drive. The gym club road was good for practicing on, and I went with the car into the gym club road to practice one day. I practiced for quite some time and thought I'd done very well. So when I came back to the farm and told Neil I was happy with my practice, he smelt and he said, "Yes, but you have the handbrake on."
Okay. Talk to me about life at the farm.
Life at the farm was very busy for me. It was a steep learning curve. I'd never been on a farm before. I was cooking for a family of farmers and sometimes extra men who were employed there in busy times like shearing and cropping, I guess. So I learned how long to leave the roast of mutton in the oven to have it properly cooked to serve at 12 o'clock when it was shearing time, and what I could bake in the slow combustion oven. It was an Ager. It was a coke stove and it didn't behave like wood stoves. The first sponge I tried to make, I'd been able to successfully make in Dimboola in the wood stove. Neil's mum said to me, "That won't work because it didn't have any rising in it." But in the wood stove, because the heat was greater, it made a beautiful sponge. but in the slow combustion stove, it didn't work. She was right. Neil's mother was usually right. She was a very good cook, and she did a good deal to help me get my feet on the ground there.
Obviously, she was living on the farm too. How many families were on the farm?
No, she wasn't living on the farm at that stage, because after Neil and I were married, she and her husband, Reg, bought Charlie Keats' house in Jewellery Street, and they and the rest of the family went in and lived in Jewellery Street. But Mother was very good. She used to come out and help me preserve fruit in the Fowler outfit, enough to last for the year, all the family and the extra people besides.
How long had the farm been there for? You're talking about preserving fruits, so I presume there were fruit trees there.
There were some fruit trees, but also we got fruit from Kwantong, which had orchards at the time. Yes, the farm had been in the Hatley name, well, in Neil's family's name since 1935. They came from Mita to Natamuck East in 1935, but we used to get cases and cases of fruit from Kwantong. Yes, and we used to get things like pineapple, things that I wouldn't have imagined, because it all came to the Kwantong station. Apart from that, I wanted to learn how to milk the cows. I tried on several occasions. I think I would have learned quite well. Neil's dad said to me, "You don't have to milk cows. We've got enough people to do that." So that was one job I never had to do. But I fed fowls and plucked ducks, and used to pluck the ducks in the feathers into a 44-gallon drum in what we called the calf paddock alongside the house. I guess we tried lots of things. I was very busy in the kitchen, and it was a 5-bedroomed house, so and I intended to keep it clean. And besides that, there were children. Ken came in 1955, and Errol in 1958, Helen in 1961, and Rex in 1964, and eventually they had to go to the bus, catch the bus to school, and go to their various sporting, and so like other parents, I was coming home from Narajua after football practice in the dark, taking Helen to music lessons and taking Rex to football training. So I had running about with children, like all parents have.
Let's go back a little bit. Entertainment. What did you do for entertainment when you were a young woman or a young married woman? Did you go out? I heard that there were lots of balls happening.
No, I never danced very much. I would have loved to have danced. My father was a very good dancer. And I did dance with him at the Railway Institute at one stage and had a wonderful time. But he was away all the week and he played sport all weekend, and I didn't learn old-time dancing very much. We did some in Teachers College, but dancing was not part of my growing up. My main enjoyment was singing in the choir at church, and we had a very good church choir, the Methodist Church in Dimboola. Bert Dulitz was conductor, and I sang alto from the time I left elementary school in Dimboola, and I've sung alto ever since in lots of choirs. So I dare say my main joy was singing. It started with my mother, because we were on our own during the week. Dad was away, and we used to go for walks together, and we would sing rounds. We would love to sing as we went along, right up Horsham Road, down the south end of the town where the native flowers, the thryptomane and heath and thryptomane grew. We'd enjoy the walk and we'd sing some of the way. And I always went to church and Sunday school from a child. I sang alto in the church choir and loved it. Singing alto, part singing, has been a wonderful part of my life.
It is a beautiful activity, and it really connects you with, to the people around you, doesn't it, in the
yes,
choir? It's
yes.
gorgeous. Now, you were telling me that your dad was away all week long. What was his job then?
Well, for the last 15 years, he was on the railways. He was a fencer on the railways, and Mum would get his food for the week together, and we would take it up to the railway station. The food would go wherever he was working between Horsham and Surbiton, sometimes at little sidings, small places like Lillimer and Salisbury. And he would be in one of those little railway cabins. They would pull into a siding, and each night they would come back to that and sleep there and have their meals there.
What kind of food did you prepare for the week, and how was it kept fresh?
That's a hard one. I really don't know. I used to take a large tin to the station, and it would contain a roast of mutton. Well, really, I didn't look in there. I guess there was salad stuff and bread, I suppose, although at some places he could buy at the store where he was. So that would be bought fresh. But his meat was cooked at home and sent. I really didn't look in those tins.
Fair enough. And what about at home then, in the early years? How was the food kept fresh?
We had a cool safe on the veranda. It was covered in hessian, and it had a large tray on the top and on the bottom with water in it. A piece of flannel or pieces of flannel draped over the sides of the tray, and they would become wet from the water in the tray and drip down on the sides of the hessian cool safe into the trays at the bottom, which also contained water. That was for a start. They would be in a shady place on the veranda. After that, I used to ride to the electricity place, this was in Dimboola, and bring home a block of ice that I got from the electricity place. I can't think what it should be called. We got an ice chest, and that had a door, and you would put the block of ice in that and your food in the cupboard underneath. And as long as the ice existed, you had a cool place for your food. I don't think we ever had a refrigerator at home, but I remember bringing home these blocks of ice, and it was on my bike. We never had a car. We didn't ever have a vehicle until my dad got a little utility, and that was to take clippings from the garden to keep the place tidy. He was always a very careful person. He looked after our home very well. To keep that home during the Depression, we lived, just the three of us, we lived with my father's parents who were aging, and my mother looked after them, and my father worked at that time at the Pink Lake at Lochiel, and rented our house, first of all, to some high school teachers. They paid rent for living in our house. And later on, we had the football coach and his family living in our house while we stayed with the grandparents. I was about 8 at the time. They kept the payments going on our house while we were able to help the grandparents. And we kept our house in Dimboola, whereas others who had bought a state bank house lost their house through not being able to pay the rent.
The rent or the mortgage?
Well, it was what you had to... No, it wasn't rent. It would have been the mortgage, yes. The house is still there, but it doesn't look anything like it did those days.
Valda, you are in remarkable health, and you are what age now?
91.
What is the secret? Is there a secret?
Well, of course, I think providing good food and keeping active are important, but I also think that having a quiet, peaceful mind is important. Not holding any resentments, being kind, giving your best to people, helping other people as much as possible, and keeping happy. I think you need to have hobbies and interests that give you a lift and make you appreciate how fortunate you are to be alive at this time, because we really are. Just to be alive and to be in a country where there's peace and to be able to move freely and think freely and enjoy the simple things seems to be the answer, I think.
Valda, you are an inspiration. And not only all that, but you also keep your mind active. You are still learning French.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to U3A French in Horsham at the railway station, which might become a railway station again sometime if they can possibly bring the trains through. But just at the moment, I'm in a little class of about 8 people. None of us are wonderful, but we just have this excitement and enjoyment of the French language, and we share together and have a beautiful time around the table.
I can feel the love coming from you. I'd say that that love has been with you all your life, and it will keep you alive and well and happy for many years to come. That's what I hope anyway. Thank you so much, Valda. It's been wonderful talking with you.